Let us now open the Word of God also in Psalm 103, which is our scripture passage. Psalm 103, this is the word of the Lord of David. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquity, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pits, who crowns you with steadfast love and mercy, who satisfies you with good, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the people of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always chide, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far does he remove our transgressions from us. As a father shows compassion to his children, so the Lord shows compassion to those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. For the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, O you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all his hosts, his ministers who do his will. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. That's our scripture passage. Our focal point this evening we find in Paul's second epistle to the Corinthians, chapter 13, the last verse of that epistle. That's our focal point, where Paul concludes his epistle with these words: the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with you all. That's our text. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, on this first Lord's Day of the new year, brothers and sisters, we exchange best wishes with each other. We wish each other health and happiness, or better yet, a blessed new year, 2022. That's what we wish each other. For we know and realize that we cannot give that to each other or guarantee it to each other. We can express good wishes, but we cannot make such wishes a reality for one another. The only one who can give us all good and make health, happiness, yes, blessings a reality, that is God. He only can give what we can wish for each other. Indeed, he is not only able to give us his blessings, but he also promised that he would. His goodness and grace are ever near us. It was on the basis of his faithfulness to his promises and in the faith in all the promises of the gospel that the Apostle Paul could pronounce the blessing in our text. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all. This afternoon, we will focus on all that's contained in that blessing. Its promise and prospect, its task and calling for the new year 2022. So I proclaim God's blessing on his church here for 2022. It is a triune blessing. It involves a true faith. And it shows us a task. So I summarize the message of this afternoon as follows. God's blessing on his church here in 2022, it involves a triune blessing, our first point, a true faith, our second point, and a task, our third point. So first of all, a triune blessing. These words in our text, brothers and sisters, are very well known. How often have we not heard these words at the end of a worship service? When the minister raises his hands and speaks on behalf of God, his sender, saying, "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all." These words are so familiar that we may run the risk, indeed, of not hearing them anymore, or no longer realizing what God is saying to us here through his servant. It will be good, therefore, to focus our attention on these words and to sense again, know again, and believe what God is giving to us in this promise, this pronouncement of his triune blessing. As one commentary puts it, it's the richest benediction in the entire New Testament. Indeed, beloved, God is pronouncing his blessing over us in these words. They are a benediction, that is, words by which God says something good to us, literally. Bene is good, diction is saying, speaking. Well, what does it mean, though? His blessing. Blessing, to a lot of people, means that it will be well with you. It means health and happiness and prosperity. Hence, this seems to imply as well that when you are sick or encounter financial trouble or meet with adversity, you have a problem. You are not blessed. But that's not how it is, though. Let's all realize this as we wish each other a blessed new year. Of course, we may wish each other health and happiness, but that's not it. That's not all. It doesn't just mean that you will enjoy prosperity, but that you will have the Lord our God at your side. Blessing, beloved, doesn't mean always that it goes well with you, but that you will receive and experience the help and strength and power of God, also when things are not going well. So you can be enjoying a blessed health, experiencing God's grace and light every day, but you can also be blessed in illness, experiencing every day the power and nearness of God, even if and when you won't get better or recuperate. At the same time, it is possible that you are very prosperous, and doing well financially, and yet miss out on this blessing of the Lord. Then God is not with you in your riches. Just as in the case of Lot in Sodom, who had everything, yet missed out on the blessing of God. When we wish each other a blessed new year, brothers and sisters, or when Paul pronounces these words of blessing from the triune God over his church in Corinth, this doesn't mean well-being and prosperity necessarily, but especially the wish that God's hand and power may be in your life, in light days as well as in dark. Yes, indeed, that's what the triune blessing in our text pronounces over us. His help and power, the love and unity with our triune God. What power? Well, first of all, Paul shows it is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we need first of all, grace. That is, all the benefits and merits of the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole blessing of redemption, as John Calvin sums it up, namely, the miracle and mystery of God giving us His Son, through whom He adopts us into the number of His sons and daughters. Grace is the forgiveness of sins. It's the remission of our sins and guilt, a grace that we do not just have for ourselves, but also share. Let's realize that first of all, beloved, on this first Lord's Day in the new year. We may call it new this year, but we are still the same sinners of last year. Miserable sinners. Yes, we too, whether we are reformed or not, we are unclean sinners, beggars, who took their sins and misery along from the old into the new year. Our character too, and our debts, and our lack of faith, and our slowness of repentance, our selfishness, our lack of holiness, you name it. That we may hear against the background of that reality, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ with you. Grace, because He came into the world, as we heard and commemorated on Christmas Day, and was laid in a manger, and has gone to the cross. His body was broken, and His blood poured out for the complete forgiveness of all our sins. Yes, beloved, and then the promise and prophecy is coming along with us. This blessing, that though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. That's grace in the Lord Jesus Christ. That though my conscience accuses me, His obedience, His righteousness is imputed to me as if I had never had or done any sins. That's grace. Yes, and with it come His manifold mercies as well. His empathy, His compassion, the way He showed it to lepers, to the blind, to the lame, to sinners whose life had become broken due to their sins, all those who are suffering from the brokenness due to sin, the sick, those suffering of chronic illnesses, the dying, the lonely, etc., they too share in the blessings of grace and mercy and compassion in the Lord Jesus Christ, who intercedes for them. Father, grant them your power, your care, your compassion, your comfort, your healing. That's the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ in this triune blessing. Then Paul adds, beloved, the love of God, which is the source from which all the grace and mercy of God originates. The love of God the Father, we may assume, though his name isn't mentioned here. He is God, who has shown his love in Jesus Christ, and from whom the Spirit proceeds. His Father love is promised here as well. Then in view of all the needs of his children, in the midst of their sins and misery, in the midst of this broken world, we may take this love of the Father to mean especially his care and provisions in his providence. As we see that in the high priestly prayer of Numbers 6, the other benediction we hear every Lord's Day, the Lord bless you and keep you. God the Father is there as our blessing, especially in his keeping of his children in their daily needs. As he promised his blessings to Noah, to Abraham, to David specifically, he maintains his work of creation. He continues the seasons and he provides for food and drink. Hence, under his blessing, beloved, we do not have to worry about what we need for body and soul. For the Father takes care of us. More even than of the flowers of the field or of the birds in the air, as the Lord Jesus assures us. The love of God, therefore, is his blessing for body and soul in life and in death, because I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. Yes, also in death, the love of the Father is there, who will have a place prepared in his Father house. He will further clothe me so that I will not be found naked on that day. His love will accompany me in this world and in the world to come. In this triune blessing, brothers and sisters, Paul then adds as well the communion of the Holy Spirit. It's the communion with the Spirit because by the grace of God, in the love of God, we have been united with God. The Spirit is with us, even in us, as our counselor, our comforter, who works faith, hope, and love in our heart. With his word, he guides us, accompanies us. Thus, he dwells in us, temples of the Holy Spirit. He gives true life to us so that our faith, our love ripen and the fruit of the Spirit shows in our life more and more. Joy, faithfulness, endurance, hope, gentleness, kindness, all in our lives as his children. Also in our lives that are unholy of itself, he works sanctification. It's the unity with the Holy Spirit which heals broken lives, broken relationships, uniting them in love. It's a unity with the Holy Spirit which becomes evident very much in the communion of the saints with whom we walk and live within the light of the triune God. You see, beloved, that's the blessing the Apostle Paul pronounces on behalf of his God in heaven. That's the blessing God's servant promises you, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ at this place. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, his mercy, his forgiving grace, and the love of God, his care, his protection, and his provisions, and the communion of the Holy Spirit, his comfort, his counsel, his truth and unity with you all. That's the blessing we may receive this morning or this afternoon on January the 2nd of 2022. That's the blessing we may take into the new year, in which I will be sinning again, make mistakes again, encounter setbacks again, or feel lonely and forsaken again. Then His blessing will be there in the power He gives to endure, in His hands by which He keeps and guides, and in the grace by which He sustains me in my weaknesses, encourages me in my disappointments, and fills me with joy and gratitude when everything goes well. So that first, the second point involved is a true faith. It must have struck you, brothers and sisters, that when this benediction is pronounced, there can be a slight difference in the way a minister does so. Literally, in Greek, the blessing reads like this: "The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all." And some ministers include in it the word "be," namely, "be with you all." While others will say it this way: "is with you all." With the word "be," a hope is expressed, or a wish. May the triune blessing be with you all. But that's not what it says in our text, though, literally. The Apostle Paul presents, pronounces, proclaims this blessing as if to say, here it is, grace and love and communion. Here it is for you, for you all. It's pronounced over you. Hence, it means that we must receive this blessing in faith. It's not as if this blessing is given to us, comes along with us, something that automatically influences our life or so. No, it is a blessing that God gives in order that I may receive it in faith. It's a present, a promise, which I have to believe. I have to seek it so that I will find it. I have to knock for it so that it will be open to me. It is a blessing for which I must fight by faith, wrestle in prayer. Concretely, beloved, this means that we must desire to live by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, we must pray, "Lord, have mercy on me." Then prayer, as the most important part of the thankfulness I show to God, must be a prayer of faith, by which I believe that I will, that He will hear me and be merciful to me. The same applies to the love of God. I must seek His love in faith, by prayer, and trust that He will provide for me, will forgive me, and will preserve me in the midst of the struggles and temptations in this world. How difficult that can be, though. Trust in God and His love, instead of looking after myself and do things in my own way and by my own power. How difficult it is to seek the kingdom of God with our whole life and trust, indeed, that He will give all things according to His promise. You know, I can be so busy with material needs, health and food and clothing and money, or in times of distress, we can be so wrapped up in all the things we have to do, and then finally come to the conclusion that, oh yeah, we can pray too, rather than starting out with prayer in faith. It's so difficult to live that way. Yes, that the same applies to the communion with the Holy Spirit. We have to believe that too, pray for it, and give thanks for it. Then we are reminded time and again that we have this communion through His Word, which we would need to read to enjoy the unity and be strengthened in faith. Then we have to realize again and again that we have to be in church, attend the services diligently, because that's the workshop of the Holy Spirit. And that's the place where we experience the communion of saints first and foremost. Then also trust in His Word and be comforted by His love and care in the certain faith, the confidence and trust that He is there for us, assured that He will give us a rich share in the grace of Jesus Christ, the love of God, and in the communion of the Holy Spirit. Yes, beloved, count on it, because in His triune blessing, His grace comes first. We do not first have to be good, or be without sin, or show our holiness, or perform our good works. No, even when I feel ashamed about myself and feel insecure about going to Him in prayer, I still may, thanks to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Him, it's all grace that's coming to me, to us, as His church. We are blessed through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we come to our third point, a task. The purpose of this blessing, brothers and sisters, is then also that the triune God will endow the worshippers with the virtues of grace, love, and communion to equip them for service. Just to illustrate the point, when you receive the forgiveness of sins by the grace of God, it is that you may share this grace with one another and forgive each other the sins committed against you, the debts we owe each other. Well, this is the case with all the blessings and benefits, the mercies and merits in Christ we receive to help our neighbors with them. When I so experience the hand of God in my life and enjoy the power of God in my situation, then I may also strengthen and encourage others. As Paul puts it in 2 Corinthians 1, then we comfort others with the comfort with which we are comforted ourselves. We are blessed in manifold ways in order to use these blessings for others. What great blessing that is indeed when those who are sick, who are weak and struggling, experience the care and compassion, the mercy and love of Christ in their fellow believers. What a rich experience that is when I am able to do good to others, financially or otherwise, because I know myself blessed so richly with material and other blessings. Indeed, what a joy it is when we employ our gifts and talents, God's blessings to us for the well-being and upbuilding of the other members. We are coming to church to honor God, and we are going home to serve God and our neighbor. That's how we receive God's blessing at the beginning of this new year. And that's how we commit ourselves to God and to each other when we wish them God's blessing. And finally, beloved, it's a blessing for all, as Paul stresses, including those members he admonished sharply in this epistle. Even when we can be saddened by one another sometimes, we still wish each other God's indispensable blessing, God's love and grace, for we are church of the Lord Jesus Christ, baptized into the name of the triune God, and children of God who depend on the grace, love, and communion of God. Well, be blessed, therefore, as you receive on His behalf the triune blessing, which is coming to you with the affirming and guaranteeing Amen, which is part of it, hence which I always include with it. Receive it in faith as you respond to it, confessing this faith by your personal threefold Amen. Use this blessing to fulfill your task in the new year 2022. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit with you all. Amen. Let us give thanks together. Our Father, who art in heaven, we thank you for your blessing. We thank you for speaking such good words to us. Yes, for speaking to us words of grace, of love, of communion. We thank you, Father, that we may share in your grace in Jesus Christ as forgiven sinners, but also as forgiving sinners. For we know, Father, that you do not deal with us or treat us as our sins deserve. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your care, your compassion, your provisions. And we thank you, Father, that we may have communion with you, that we may live in intimacy with you as your covenant people. We pray that you will continue to establish us in communion with yourself by your Holy Spirit. Renew us in the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Work in us the fruit of the Spirit so that we may serve you with joy, that we may serve you in love and be patient also with one another. Father, we pray that you will so bless the communion of the saints at this place, that we may support one another, support the work of the ministry of mercy by the deacons. Bless also the elders and the minister in their leadership, and give that your word may redound to praise and glory, that it may redound to gratitude, to love and unity in the congregation. And will you so bless us on this day, in this week, and in this new year, blessing us in accordance with that rich meaning of the benediction that we receive at the end of the worship service. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.